Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, a partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers, and tonight's conversation is with John Mitchell, Acting Director of the U.S. Mint, and Colleen Vogel, Staff Director for Mint Operations. Well, John, before we went to commercial, you were just talking about the capital investment program. Let me let you finish.
Briefly, Paul, what we did prior to our public enterprise fund is we could only spend something like $5 million a year because in the appropriations processes, as we're all well aware, there are a lot of competing priorities. So we had equipment that was 25 and 30 years old. We have a very aggressive capital budget that we're 3 years into our five-year $500 million capital campaign that is bringing in new high-speed coining presses, annealing furnaces. We're making some building improvements, but the vast majority of that is equipment-oriented. We've got state-of-the-art robotics in our San Francisco Mint in terms of packaging our products. And so it's been a good opportunity to catch up. That $500 million program represents about 4% or so of our revenues, and that's very much in line with industry averages of about 3 or 3.5%. After this 5 years, it'll settle back into average of maybe $40 or so million per year. But it's been a very necessary investment as well as recovery from years of neglected capital.
Well, let me shift to talking about the employees at the Mint, because you mentioned that in terms of your work with the unions as well. And I understand the Mint's earned 3 National Labor Management Awards, and every manager and union steward has received some frontline leadership training. I mean, how did this come about? How did it begin, and what changes has it brought about?
You're exactly right. We're very proud of the recognitions that we've gotten from the vice president, from the president's Labor Partnership Council. It started again with the fact that we were the first Treasury Bureau and perhaps one of the first few in government to sign an agency-wide partnership agreement with our union back in 1994. And we took a very open approach. We included the union in a lot of discussions early on. And so it was partly that change, but also the building of relationships and trust, you know, that greases so much of the operations of a business, is for a group of people to trust each other and to deal with only the issues and not get hung up on personalities. So that was very important. We also had an environment where prior to 94, we had to say we had strained labor management relations would be not an exaggeration. Our Denver Mint was picketed by its employees, informational pickets, since these are government employees. The Denver facility at the time had a little over 400 employees, and we had over 200 grievances and other labor complaints. So we were not going from a quiet operation into an even stronger one. We were going into a labor relationship in turmoil to what is a recognized and very strong partnership.
And what do you think the lessons learned are from turning about that kind of relationship?
I think inclusion is very important. Building relationships so that people understand who sits across the table and alongside them. Also, you know, I keep getting back to the business and the customer. We exist to serve the public, and focusing on what it is that we do at the Mint and what our customer wants from us, doesn't just need from us, but would also want from us, how and how often and time frames and all sorts of other measurements of customer satisfaction, and what we as a business need to do and be held accountable for in running a successful business. The combination of building relationships and trust, getting to know each other so that we work better together as a team, and having a team focus, and then having the organization focus on itself as a business that is in existence to serve the public and our customers. I think all of those things woven together is the reason that we've been able to be so successful.
And how? What else are you doing different with the employees of the Mint? And let's go through the life cycle. I notice you're actively recruiting, and that I understand you have some very interesting training and development programs going on. Perhaps you could tell us about those as well.
We do. We have an individual development plan program for our employees that's very robust, and it offers on the job training, tuition reimbursement, various job assignments. I'm like the poster child for various job assignments, being the procurement director, and then doing a rotation through human resources, and now as the staff director. We've also instituted many flexibilities that are just friendly towards our employees, like our flexible work schedules, public transportation incentives, telecommuting, things like that that make it just a little easier on the employee and also are good recruiting tools.
And I think, Paul, a couple of things. One is Colleen was responsible for creating an employee advocate position down in our human resources office, somebody that's responsible for coordinating with new employees as they come on board and then working with them for their first 3 months to make sure everything's going well. And while that isn't a revolutionary concept by any stretch, it's something we hadn't been doing and our employees appreciate. Even our new headquarters location on 801 9th Street in Northwest, our building is a beautiful building that is very much designed around the openness and the environment that our employees can see is an icon as to what the Mint is all about and how valued the employees and their contribution are, and therefore a building that has been designed around those principles with a number of amenities. And I hasten to add, at a price that's at least $5 below market value. So we did a great job, Colleen and her staff, in negotiating a great deal.
Well, Colin, let me ask you something you mentioned about changing jobs. I mean, our surveys of federal employees is by and large, they almost hate changing jobs, and yet you've been able to do that. How did you do that?
Well, the need was there. You know, and the thing about the Mint that is, I think, is unique is that typically in government, it's been my experience that you get into a series and then that is where you are, and there's no moving around. And the Mint is different in that when the need is there and if they can match up, you know, the right skills with the need, like for instance, it didn't seem reasonable to some people that I would move from procurement to human resources, but I did have a degree in human resources and I had some experience. And so it just flowed like that. And it was short term and it was really a matter of hiring someone else to fill the job permanently. But at the same time, being able to take an opportunity to let someone else come in who really wasn't too familiar with the day-to-day operations and then find opportunities to help them make change in their organization.
If I could weave 2 points in at this point, the strategic plan and IDPs. We in our strategic plan in 94 and 95 wrote in deliberately that every employee at the Mint was entitled to have an individual development plan and that we would support that plan. We also added that they had to take the initiative to create it, because initially we were talking about doing them for each employee, and then we decided, no, they need to take the initiative to seize that opportunity. What we also said is that we're going to create an environment where these opportunities can be realized and people can go outside of their current job field, and that the key to that success is tying it into the strategic plan and the business interests of the agency. And because we have so many varied operations within the Mint, there really is quite an open field for people to provide or identify those sorts of opportunities for them where they work with their supervisor and they work with others to both have on-the-job training, off-site classes, on-site training as well, and gravitate into other fields. Because what we want is for our employees to feel that they're contributing, know that they're the reason for our success, and we want to keep them as long as we can. But if they also want to go outside of the Mint down the road and they can gain a lot of marketable skills at the Mint, and we have very marketable skills at the Mint, then that's great. Then that's a success for us. They helped us for a period of time. And we've had folks that helped create our web, for example, that after 3 or 4 years of developing themselves in that arena, have taken jobs with $1 million stock options and other things that we can't quite compete with in the public sector. But that's great. It's a success for them and for us.
Well, and that's, you raised 2 questions I'm interested in asking about. First, one of the things the stories created about the federal workforce is that it tends to be older, a lot are near retirement, and are very resistant to the kind of changes you're describing. So I'm wondering, was the Mint not typical in that sense? Or
I think we were very typical. What we tried to do early on is a number of folks in leadership positions, both formal and informal, decided that there was this great opportunity. The Mint was an incredible sleeping giant. And then what we did was we found folks throughout the organization, and that includes individuals like Colleen and people from all the different functional areas at every level of the organization, and including the union leadership and union stewards, that bought into it in terms of our values, our principles, realizing opportunities, having a fun place to work, allowing people to develop and really blossom. And I think that's what's really driven us. And as part of our business, all the things we do with a profit and loss focus in terms of our financial management, having an enterprise resource planning system, a website that's very profitable and puts us in the top 20 national e-retailers, a lot of stuff we do is cutting edge, and therefore our existing workforce has changed, but we've also recruited a lot of folks into our organization that are part of a new level of enthusiasm for what we do.
I've also seen, though, that a lot of our employees that have been around for a while, I watch them become rejuvenated also, you know, with it, because there was kind of an influx of change and excitement. And then those people were kind of driving things. But then also the people that have been there for a while kind of jumped on the wagon and took over as well.
And a very quick note, by and large, we have done this with most of the folks that were there when we came on board. There have been some, including in leadership positions, that just did not want to go that route. So the influx of new talent, but also the re-energizing of existing talent is what's accounted for our success.
We'll be right back with more of the Business of Government Hour.